Good evening and welcome to another exciting edition of the Midweek Connection on KC 107.7. You are listening to Connor Robertson, and today's conversation is actually going to be around the National Treasury, which has offered a partial reprieval on the foreign retirement tax exemption withdrawal. Today our special guest is actually Kitsumetse Sasana, the acting deputy CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation. This conversation is going to be really intriguing and really exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. But for now, let's take a break. Let's listen to some music. And when we return, we're going to go straight into the interview.
This is KC 107.7.
And welcome back once again. This is the Midweek Connection. I am Connor Robertson. And today we're going to speak once again to Kitsumetse Sasana, the acting deputy CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation. Today we're going to be talking about the foreign pension tax relief, what Treasury's latest move means for South African retirees. So once again, I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time. Kitsumetse, let's start at the beginning. For those who may not follow tax legislation closely, what exactly is Section 10, Subsection 1G, 2?
And thank you very much for having me.
Kind of income does it deal with?
Thank you very much for having me. I look forward to unpacking this conversation with the listeners. So Section 10 1G Cap C 2 is a provision in South African tax law that exempts certain foreign pension, annuity and land sum payments from being taxed in South Africa. It specifically relates to any income that was earned from past employment abroad and then sits in these pension funds. And essentially a person who's contributed to that foreign pension fund, should they come to South Africa, they would not be taxed as we are taxed on foreign pension funds in South Africa.
So one question, why was this exemption originally introduced in the first place? What was it meant to protect or encourage?
If we take a step back, we know that in 2001, South Africa moved to residency basis of taxation. So as a South African resident, you're taxed on your worldwide income. But that means that equally so, non-residents are only taxed on sourced income, what they source from South Africa. So this exemption was designed to protect South Africans who worked overseas and sourced funds or contributed to foreign retirement funds from funds that were source of funds that is outside of South Africa, essentially meaning that if they were to come to South Africa, they wouldn't be taxed on that money. So the exemption was introduced to ensure that there is no double taxation on the same income, and just to include or ensure parity in this regard for those who receive those benefits from a foreign source and then come back to South Africa.
So earlier this year, Treasury proposed the removal of this exemption entirely. What was the reason behind that move from a government perspective?
So I must have sympathy for the Treasury. If you look at it, Connor, at the draft EM, they have been doing a lot of patchwork on this exemption for over a decade now, right? So from 2013, they're expecting, you know, these minimal changes. From Treasury's perspective, again, if you look at the draft expansion memorandum, they propose two scenarios here where South Africa is effectively giving away its rights to tax because of this exemption, which would essentially mean that even if the foreign jurisdiction is not taxing the foreign pension fund or annuity or lump sum and gives the right to South Africa, by virtue of this exemption, we give it away. So, it's just double non-taxation. Or in an instance where the foreign entity is not taxing and South Africa too is not taxing, so we have this double non-taxation again in that instance. So National Treasury has seen this loophole in the law, and in fact they mentioned at a recent workshop that we held on the 22nd of September that they have had, you know, foreign retirees or people come to them to say, listen, you know, contracting state XYZ is taxing my pension, but you guys are not, or that jurisdiction is not taxing my pension and you also not taxing my pension. So, you know, where exactly am I supposed to be paying tax? So they saw this double non-taxation, and that's why they had then bought the specific exemption or wanted to repeal it, just that we can reclaim inter alia our taxing rights as South Africa.
So when this proposal came out, it caused quite a stir amongst retirees and tax practitioners and professionals. What were some of the biggest concerns raised by both you being cited and other stakeholders at the time?
So our key proposal that we raised is that even though we understand that there's this double non-taxation element that is creeping in, right, we have to look at this holistically from a South African perspective. We know that South Africa is on, you know, a base broadening drive. We need to, you know, include as many people into the tax net, whether it's via PAYE income tax, or whether it's through corporate tax, or whether it's through value-added tax consumption. And we presented to SCOF to say, the base is broad because we have foreign retirees who are settling in places like Camps Bay in Cape Town who want to come to South Africa because the cost of living is low and they know that their pensions won't be taxed. But we're now saying we're removing the exemption. So thereby we are destabilizing government's objective of broadening the base, because those foreign retirees are not going to want to come to a country where their pension might potentially be taxed. So those are some of the issues that we raised. And that was actually the main issue that was a problem that we raised at the SCOF and to Treasury. And you would see in the draft response document from National Treasury and SARS that they appreciate that, yes, it's true. There is a lot of FDI that foreign retirees bring to South Africa, and South African residents who are returning to the country are bringing here. So we have to balance out the tax element vis-a-vis, you know, the FDI element. So those are the main issues that we had raised. And also kind of one of the canons of taxation is certainty. You've had the specific exemption in legislation for such a long time. People have structured their financial futures based on how the exemption currently operates. And then in a blink of an eye, you're going to remove it immediately. So it doesn't serve the canon of taxation being certainty, which is some of the issues that we raised with Treasury and SARS. And we're happy to hear that they've listened.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've got friends and colleagues who have went abroad and they're working abroad, and the goal was always to come back to South Africa.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, if you can earn more money abroad and you can come back with that money, I mean, why would you not? So
exactly. And again, Connor, this is why we're so passionate about the issues, that the cost of living is low. If you look at the High Commission of, I think there's Ottawa, Canada, where I did, you know, a bit of research to show that the Department of Home Affairs is getting a lot of visas from countries like the UK, like the US, that want to come, those people want to come and retire here in South Africa. And you can just imagine the amount of money that they would inject into the economy by utilizing that exchange rate, right? Right. So it has to be an opportunity cost here. What are we prepared to let go of so that we can have the broader impact of broadening the base? And we wait to see what National Treasury will do.
Absolutely, because let's be fair, you can't just have your cake and eat it. Like, it's such an age-old saying, but especially I feel like with the economy in the way and the shape it is currently now, you can't turn away these people who are coming into the country, creating opportunities, because we know they just do. And just go, okay, well, you know, we're losing money here. But the one thing I'm a bit worried about is that we become what, I can't remember the saying, but you become a penny pincher, but you become pound foolish. And
yes,
I know we've had an offline conversation on this, and it's been something that we've continually spoke about. But that is just, when I saw this decision, I just thought, is the Treasury not being penny, is the Treasury not being a penny pincher but a pound foolish?
Well, one could argue that, honestly, Connor, in the various iterations of legislation and the tightening of anti-avoiders, that they really are trying to pick up every cent. But then again, I do have sympathy for the Treasury here, because this specific exemption means in many instances we forego our taxing rights. So we are stripping money off our own fiscus from our own base that can be injected into the economy and into the collection efforts of SARS and eventually into the higher purposes the Commissioner puts it. But Yes, I think I must agree with you that it might be, just be going for the small fish here and just trying to extract every single rand and cent, but we'll wait to see what will come from next year's budget as to how Treasury is going to structure this so that it still favors FDI while it also reclaims our taxing rights.
Absolutely. And you know what? When I do say, penny pinching and pound foolish, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a partial arrangement in place. Like, there has to be
Excellent.
some level of fairness. Like you said, we're foregoing tax that we
Yes.
should be getting. So it's not necessarily that I'm saying that we should exempt them entirely, but maybe there should be certain exemptions. Maybe it's a constant give and take, just so that obviously we're not stripping our fiscus. But in the same sense, we're not taking away that prospect, because up until for a very long time, we've been a very good retirement prospect.
Excellent. I completely agree with you on that one. But we'll wait to see. As you're mentioning, we also raised it with the SARS and Treasury to say, please calculate the revenue loss that you are purporting to be losing. And then when you have the figures on the table, industry will bring theirs and we can try and meet each other halfway.
Absolutely. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to some music. And when we return, we're going to go straight into the Treasury's decision and, of course, SITE's involvement.
This is SCAISY 107.7.
And welcome back once again. This is the Midweek Connection. I am Connor Robertson. And once again, our guest is Kitsometse Sisana, the Acting Deputy CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation. Today, we are going to once again be talking about the foreign pension tax relief, and we're going to actually be talking about the Treasury's decision and, of course, the South African Institute of Taxation's involvement. So, Kitsometse, how involved was SITE in these discussions? Was there a formal consultation process, or did you just step in quickly to represent affected taxpayers?
Formal consultation process. So, as a South African Institute of Taxation, we are involved on an annual basis when the draft tax law amendment bills and draft tax administration law amendment bills are released. And we comment, we do a line by line analysis of all the proposed amendments that are put forward. And we then charge forth and discuss this, make written submissions to Treasury and SARS. We attend the workshops and we go to SCOF. So, our involvement with this specific exemption is no different from, our involvement in the past, where we considered the exemption. We met together as the personal income tax work group here at SATE, and we deliberated the various perspectives from all the members on the committee, which is a very wide and diverse range of thoughts and insights that were put together. We wrote our formal submissions to SARS and Treasury. We attended the workshop on the 22nd and the 23rd of September, and we also presented to the SCOF on the 20th of October. So that is just the value add that we as the Institute do give our members in that we comment on every stage or at every stage of legislation so that we can give our members a voice in the final legislation when that is promulgated or in the whole tax law process that we are involved in.
I do just want to add, like, as a SITE member, it's not just that you guys are representing tax professionals and tax mem or tax practitioner members that are with SITE. It's also you're representing taxpayers, because when you
Exactly.
came on board, especially with this decision, you weren't just fighting for myself and other colleagues. You were literally fighting for other taxpayers. So
Indeed.
I do want to. I've said this on social media multiple times, but I do want to say that from my perspective, I have not seen an RCB that has been as active as you have and fighting at so many battles all at once, and the momentum you guys are busy with, especially at this stage of the year, I just have not seen an RCB as busy as you guys. That I
Oh,
might
thank
be
you so
biased.
much. Oh, no, thank you so much. But we aim to service our members. It's important that on all the fronts, whether we're engaging with SARS or engaging with Treasury, that our members have a voice. Because you rightly mentioned that notwithstanding the fact that we represent practitioners, which is our core mandate, but, you know, the flow through is that we also speak on behalf of taxpayers. And South Africa, I know I'm very passionate about South Africa working for everyone that lives in it, and we should all pay the right amount of tax. So indeed, you will find us at the forefront of championing this legislation.
So from your perspective, what finally convinced Treasury to reconsider? Was it public feedback, technical analysis, or just the realization of a potential unintended consequence?
It was all of the above, Connor. It was all of the above. I think when we met with Treasury on the first day of the workshops and the first agenda item point, or I think this was the third agenda item point, I can tell you that we spent close to an hour or even an hour and a half just debating this, where we had ordinary taxpayers in the forum. It wasn't just RCBs. We had RCBs as well. We had ordinary taxpayers. We had, you know, big firms, big audit firms. We all converged to give National Treasury the feedback. So a combination of the public feedback, and they haven't yet done a technical analysis, although in our submissions, we put forward to say, you know, these are the DTAs, these are the countries where there's a favorable tax system, you know, but National Treasury, and we've tasked them to please give us the numbers of what they see in terms of revenue loss, but they haven't really done that technical analysis yet. But I think accumulation of all of that just helped Treasury to realize that this might perhaps not work for this fiscal year. They need to go back. It's not off the table. They're still going to go back. It's very much on the table, but they're going to curate this in a way that it has less FDI or broader, you know, implications, detrimental implications, while still reclaiming our taxing right.
Absolutely. But to be fair, looking at this from a completely objective perspective, I don't think it will ever be off the table, because at the end of the day, like the Treasury, SARS, their job is to obtain money for, you know, the improvement and the growth of the country. And if there is money that is being lost, obviously they're going to just continue to refine maybe the exemption. And I welcome it. Personally, I welcome it. Or professionally, I welcome it, because I think it shouldn't be a forgotten exemption where we forget about it. It's always been there. It's always been, you know, a staple part of the attraction of South Africa. I think it's great to revisit these things and to go, where are we now? Because the South Africa 10, 15 years ago and the South Africa now is two different South Africas.
Excellent insights. Two very different South Africas that we're working in now. You could even look at the global attritional movement of people. It requires us to revisit this exemption. And I 100% agree with your sentiments. And we are looking forward to seeing what Treasury brings back to the table. But of course, it will be, you know, following consultation and just a balanced analysis, so we don't throw the baby out of the bathwater.
Absolutely. So let's look at real world implications, right? For retirees who receive pensions or annuities overseas through overseas employment, what kind of relief does this partial retention actually provide?
So it means that the status quo remains. They will not be taxed on their foreign retirement funds, or their foreign annuities or lump sums will not be taxed. So that's what the partial retention means now. So the status quo remains. So essentially, the financial planning remains largely intact, because if this exemption had gone through, a foreign retiree or someone, you know, settling in South Africa would have moved from a no tax burden to a significant tax burden. You know, although we know that the taxation on retirement, you know, the tax tables are at special rates, but it's still a significant amount of money that one would have foregone. So this partial withdrawal at this point in time means that they can continue planning as they did, and we will then wait and see what National Treasury brings to the table in 2026.
So are there any groups who might still be negatively affected by the new version of this policy? For example, those living abroad but still considered tax residents?
No, there's no one at this specific stage, because the exemption stays as it is. So even if you are living abroad, but you are a tax resident, the source of the funding, remember, this deals from if you've got the source from past employment when you were not a resident, then it's not touched. I hope that makes sense. So essentially individuals that, fund retirees or skilled individuals that were South African tax residents that are returning, those are the two groups that would have potentially been affected if the exemption went ahead. But now that it has been scrapped, it's those two groups that benefit, and essentially means that whatever they've contributed, even if you're a South African resident who contributed to a foreign retirement fund when you were abroad, that will stay not taxed for this moment in time until, as I mentioned, Treasury comes back to us.
So before we move on to the next segment of this interview, what advice would you give to retirees or financial advisors right now as they reassess their planning in light of the Treasurer's announcement?
It's important for you to stay abreast of the tax changes. Legislation changes on an annual basis. You also rightly mentioned it a couple of minutes ago to say that we operate in a very changing, rapidly changing space. Legislation changes on an annual basis. It's important that taxpayers, tax practitioners, as well as those who, structure retirement funds are abreast of SARS and National Treasury plan when it comes to retirement funds. It is not enough to say this is how the legislation is, because the legislation can change. So keep up to date. Wait and see what National Treasury will say when we have our joint consultation processes, so that we can understand, so that you know how to inform your clients. And even as a taxpayer, you would understand what implications this would have on your financial planning and structuring.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take another break. We're going to listen to some music. And when we return, we're going to look at the broader tax and policy perspectives.
This is Casey 107.7.
And welcome back once again. This is the Midweek Connection. I am Connor Robertson. And our guest today is Kitsumetse Sasana, the acting deputy CEO, of the South African Institute of Taxation. So let's just discuss the broader tax and policy perspectives of the decision. There's often a fine balance between ensuring fairness, taxing residents on worldwide income, and protecting retirees from double taxation. How does this decision navigate that tension?
It is an excellent example of an adequate navigation of that tension, because by keeping the exemption as it is, as it was initially introduced into legislation, we are ensuring that it's fair. So we're not taxing, persons based on contributions that were made when they were not South African residents, even though we are operating on a worldwide basis. But when the source of funds is not from South Africa, this exemption helps to ensure that it's fair, that we don't tax it. That's excellent. However, there is that issue of double non-taxation that we have to look at, and we discussed that in the beginning. But for now, keeping the exemption as it is allows us that, even though we're operating on a worldwide basis since, the early 2000s, what is not sourced in South Africa should not be taxed here. And Treasury took the right decision at this point in time. But of course, there are little loopholes or gaps in the legislation, and we look forward to engaging to close those.
Absolutely. So would you say that this incident shows the importance of organizations like SITE in providing technical input before policy changes are finalized?
Yes, it's very important that you engage with those who have a voice with the relevant institutions. It's absolutely imperative to know that SATE, whilst I do contribute to technical forums, the technical forums also have a wide variety of experience. We've got people from industry, we've got people from the law firms, the audit firms, who are all members of SATE who contribute to this body of knowledge. And we put in technical input that is well-researched. These advocacy efforts are important so that we all have a voice before the legislation is promulgated or before legislation is final, because at the point that it's final, it's difficult to have an amendment. So it's important that you have your voice cascade through while the legislation is being designed, so that you also have your inputs to make it practical and fair and operate in real time. So as an institute, we pride ourselves on this. We have a great audience of the relevant institutions to ensure that our members and taxpayers have a voice.
So we're going to look ahead now. Are there any upcoming legislative or policy reviews that retirees and tax practitioners should be aware of, perhaps in the next budget or tax season?
This one is one that everyone should be looking out for, the amendment to Section 10.1 GCAPC2. The DDG of the National Treasury, Mr. Axelson, in the workshop in September, and as well as the tabling of the draft response in November or late October, did state that they are going back to the drawing board. This is a removal only for now. They will come back with further feedback. So it's very important that, you know, you keep your eyes locked into the next budget, where we anticipate they will announce how they will change this. And then when the legislation comes out in July, it's important to comment at that stage, because it will be important for you to understand how, you know, cross-border tax treatment has evolved in the space of retirement and how it would affect you.
So what do you think government could do better to improve transparency and consultations when proposing tax changes that affect ordinary citizens?
I think National Treasury is, and I must have sympathy for them once again, a year is a very short time within which to announce changes, to have the technical input to see how this will, you know, work in real time, to put together the drafts and then consult and then go to Parliament, right? So it's a very short timeline. We look forward in the future to see how this timeline can be expanded. But because we change legislation on an annual basis, it's really, you know, running for the finish line. But my advice to Treasury, and I think they have already accepted this, is that they need to consult before they make the changes or before announcing the changes, so that they don't have to retract proposals like they did with Section 8E and now with Section 10.1 GCAPC. It's a very, very tightrope. The fiscal year is very, very short, but it would, you know, I even had a radical suggestion that we not delay and release the bills in July, but move it further up, perhaps release the bills in May, which will give us more time to engage on the relevant technical amendments that are made. But Treasury is trying to be as transparent as possible. We do consult in the, you know, in the technical workshops, but unfortunately time is very sensitive and tight.
Absolutely. It's like you said, it feels for me like Treasury, they're in trouble if they do, they're in trouble if they don't.
Exactly.
And like you said, they've got such a finite time to get all of these things done, because you can't, the problem is you can't just stand still, especially with legislation.
Yes.
Because as we said, you know, South Africa 5-10 years ago was a different South Africa, you know.
Indeed.
In 2025. And we're going to, I mean, with the recent removal of the grey listing, we're going to be a different South Africa in 2026. So
indeed,
you're sort of stuck between, you can't do nothing, but if you just go head first into some changes, you might see a hell of a lot of resistance. So
indeed,
I do sympathize for them in that regard. But, you know, I just want to end off on a personal note. What gives you optimism about the direction of South Africa's tax policy right now?
I'm optimistic because government is listening. You know, if this is an indication, we know with the CIS document, the discussion paper that was released to the end of 2024, they announced specific changes to collective investment schemes. The industry had their say and National Treasury pulled back. Section 8E, there were certain proposals to recharacterize preference shares to debt, which would have essentially meant that there would be, you know, an increased liability for taxation, when the industry said this is not going to work because it could essentially wipe out public interest deals and strategic transactions. Treasury listened and they withdrew on the 3rd of September. This again is an indication that Treasury is indeed listening, because when we said as industry and taxpayers that this change could detrimentally affect South Africa, they pull back. So it shows the government is indeed listening. They're willing to adapt. They're willing to listen to industry and to experts and ordinary taxpayers that are affected, which is a very positive sign. But it's also important for us as taxpayers to understand the agenda that Treasury and SARS is balancing or has to juggle. It cannot just be a one-way street, and try and work together with them to resolve matters accordingly. But it's definitely a positive sign, and we look forward to more increased collaboration with these entities, so we can all reach a place where we pay the right amount of tax.
I mean, from my side, I can definitely say, I mean, I've only kept in the conversation for about a year now, but from my side, government is listening. I think it's just super important for us as taxpayers to make our voice heard. I think in the past, we might have been under this disillusionment that our voices are not heard, but it's important that we make our voice heard. And obviously, once we make our voice heard, and we through you guys, through other organizations, like we know, the conversations are taking place. So there's definitely representation, and that's already for me a positive that we've got representation, that our voice is being heard in that field of where lawmaking takes place. And for me, I mean that as a law graduate myself, that for me is positive. And I think we should hang on to that as well, because there's a hell of a lot of negative things, and we seem to focus on those, but there's a lot of positive things that is happening in this year and going forward into 2026.
True, true.
But that's all we have time for today. I just wanted to say thank you once again for your time and your insight. I hope our listeners found today's conversation insightful, but we'll see you same time, same place. God bless.